27. It was a little before dawn when the alarm horn sounded. It barely roused me, but Thera jerked awake instantly and was on her feet with her loincloth on so fast that I knew this wasn't normal. "What's going on?" I asked as my mouth caught up to my brain.
"I don't know yet," she replied. "Stay here while I get the report."
"Like hell," I retorted, pulling my pants on and looking around for my shirt. "We're in this together."
"Then join me at the gate once you've dressed, preferably with your blade."
She indicated my sword that was still embedded in the glowing hunk of stone. "I'll do my best," I said, retrieving my second shoe from the corner. Thera was long gone by the time I'd found my shirt, which was a little bit of a relief. See, I wasn't entirely sure that I could extract the blade at all, let alone without breaking the stone, and I didn't really want an audience if I ended up having to do that. I straightened my collar, cracked my neck, and wrapped my hand around the hilt. I gave a tentative tug and got a crackle of sparks in return. It didn't seem threatening. Exactly, just, well, kind of cranky. Like when you're a kid and your mom wakes you up to get ready for school and you say, "5 more minutes," and pull the blankets over your head. "Sorry, big guy. I don't have time to negotiate." I took a deep breath and pulled firmly on the exhale. I was surprised and relieved when it came out as easily as it had gone in last night. There wasn't much of a light show once I withdrew it, just a few languid arcs of blue and a glow around both objects, which slowly faded to nothing. "Okay, then. We're good?" For some reason, I was compelled to pat the stone like it was a dog. It wasn't until I was outside, where the light was a little better, that I saw that the blade was different. It was like it had been polished, and then some. The deepest pitted places had healed to small, shallow rust spots. The rest of it gleamed. Also, now that I took a second to test the weight, it felt a little heavier than I remembered, and just more robust overall. I shook my head to clear it. I'd ponder the question of what the fuck happened once the current excitement was over. For now, I just needed it to be up to handling whatever threat the village was facing. There was a huddle of about 10 people near the gate, including all the bigwigs I'd been introduced to last night. Milling about nearby was pretty much everyone else in the village, murmuring quietly among themselves and stealing glances at the group of leaders. I knew it was bad when I saw that Denno's face had no trace of a smile. Once I joined them, he simply said, "Diplodocus." "Isn't that, like, the big gentle plant eater?" I asked, somewhat confused.
"Usually, yeah. But this is a herd," Denno sighed. "And something's freaking them out. Or someone, more like it. The scouts also saw fires nearby, and there's been no lightning for days, so the fires had to have been set." "Who the fuck would set a fire near a herd of Diplodocus?" I asked, as I contemplated that.
"Someone who wants them to stampede." Denno gestured at the air, as if drawing something. "The fires are on the other side of them, in a semicircle."
"To push them your way," I nodded.
"Could it be the Saurians?"
"Perhaps. Saurians pull this shit sometimes, but this is to the north."
He rubbed his chin.
"My ale's on the orange fuckers."
"But the orange have never done anything like this," Jorna argued.
"No," Thera began. "But they could easily have learned from the Saurians. And for now, It doesn't matter who's behind it. The Diplodocus are nervous, and if they come toward us, this village will not exist anymore.
So, your walls won't stop them? I asked. I mean, you've got a lot of good, healthy trees right there in the walls.
Trees do not stop a panicking Diplodocus,
Jorna said with a sigh.
I thought back to the ranch back on Earth, where I'd trained one summer. Cows were pretty docile, even the beef cattle we'd handled. But when something spooked them, they would run right through barbed wire fences like a track star through the tape at a finish line. Only the cows didn't stop for a victory photo. They just kept going through the next fence. And the next.
Okay, I said. So what do you do when a herd stampedes toward the village?
Suli sighed. We leave, take what we can carry, and head toward the nearest allied village that's not also in the path of the stampede. There's a Green Clan settlement not far past the river, so we will start toward them. And we may be lucky. The Diplodocus do not always follow the path the Saurians want them to. They could miss our village, and we could be back in our huts by dusk.
And if Saurians are waiting for us once we leave?
Jorna shook his head sharply.
No, we must build our own fires, ring the village.
Once the beasts are in panic mode, a piddling little fire isn't going to do shit,
Denno scoffed.
Not if we make it large enough, Jorna shot back.
Fires large enough to stop a stampede are large enough to burn the village if the wind shifts, and if that happens, there won't be time to run.
Thera said flatly.
Jorna looked ready to argue, but Thera continued before he could get a word in. Remember your grandfather's end.
The group went quiet.
Thera let the silence continue for a bit before turning to me. But we have a visitor who may offer options we haven't had before he came. Thera has offered you a quest. Save the village. Would you like to accept? Yes or no?
All eyes were on me as I flipped mentally through the information I had. Then I accepted the quest.
Okay. How far away are the Diplodocus? Like, if they stampeded right now, or I guess, let's say they started stampeding right after your scouts last saw them, how much time before they get here?
Thera looked toward a young man who had been silent until now. He nodded respectfully at me.
In the worst-case scenario you describe, they could be upon us before midday, but not much before.
Oh, well, that's no problem then.
I grinned at everyone. I'm not sure if it reassured them or if it just made them think I was crazy.
I'm going to go with this guy here.
Nuto,
he said.
I'm going to go with Nuto and take a look at the area between us and where these king-sized scaredy cows are going to be coming from. And when we get back, I'm hoping breakfast is ready, with tan fruit.
Yeah, they thought I was crazy.
Because after breakfast, everyone's got to help me build a big-ass stone wall.
How are we going to help you build a stone wall that will keep out a herd of Diplodocus in less than half a day?
Jorna asked, a little dubiously.
Easy. I grinned like a madman.
You're all going to sing.